Welcome to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I am Troy, your host, and I have a very special local New Mexico guest on with me today. It's Mr. Mark Fenton. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Thanks.
All right. You came by the shop, Zia Comics, when I happened to be one of my few days off, and you dropped off a really cool foil signed space cooler. But what was even cooler is you dropped off an ash can that has a bunch of your upcoming stuff in that. So I'm going to start there with the ash can. Can you tell me about just the cover here?
Sure. So the cover, and that's Steve Irwin on the art. The cover was, and this book, I guess I got to start in the beginning. So this book was the original, like the first comic that I was going to publish. And it's, you know, essentially the superhero that's, you know, hit rock bottom and he's got to find his way back up. And originally had Thomas Tenney as the artist on board. And Thomas is, you know, famous for Forceworks back when it first came out in the 90s, 80s. He was the original artist on Forceworks. And his schedule just, he couldn't keep up, you know, getting the pages done. So I kind of talked to some other artists and we have a new artist on board. Steve Irwin did the cover, and we'll see if he'll do some more covers for us. Just because I really love Steve. He's got that 80s look, 90s look to me of superhero type stuff. So each of the ash cans, and I did a bunch of these, has a different cover. So you got the down cover. There's a space cooler cover. There's an Adrift cover. There's a vampire cover for something that Jacob, who's doing Adrift with me, and I were working on. So each ash can is a different cover. They've got pretty much the same material in them, but it may be mixed up. Like yours may have, you know, something from Adrift first. Another one may have something else, you know. It may have like a different saying. Like I tried to drop like, you know, some sayings in the front there from Neil Gaiman and some other people like that. Just as like an intro into the book.
I mean, it's even numbered here, 105.
Yeah, so you got one of the five that we did for Steve Irwin. Yep.
Wow, well, thank you. I feel privileged. I'm just going to leap through this page by page and we'll talk about what's in here. First up is the foil comic that you actually brought to the store, Space Cooler.
Yep.
So you got Jimmy Palmiotti.
So, yeah, so, nice. So the good thing is that I have a lot of friends, you know, that are pros in the industry. And the bad thing was when we did the Kickstarter, then we had like four covers and, you know, going into it, I didn't think of what the cost is going to be to do all these different covers and foil covers and everything else. So, those two are covers. So there's a Jimmy Palmiotti cover. There's an Andy Kuhn cover, which is the one that you got, the foil. Yeah, so that's the Andy Kuhn with the crowbar killer. Andy. Yep. And then Victor Santos did a cover for me. If you're familiar with Polar on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
That's his comic. So he did a cover for us. And then there's the Brian Rogers, the artist on the book. His cover is in there as well. So there's four different covers for issue one.
Wow. And we'll get more in depth on the Space Cooler later. But I just wanted to point out to everybody, Andy Kuhn, also New Mexico.
Yep,
native.
He's here in Albuquerque. Yep.
And I believe he's probably a little busy right now on The Last Ronin. Isn't he doing the art for The Last Ronin?
Yeah. So yeah, if you watch the San Diego Comic Con, you know they did it online this year with the pre-recorded sessions. Yeah. So Kevin Eastman announced actually that Andy dropped off from that.
Oh.
So yeah. So Andy's not. Yeah, and he's not doing the stuff. He did the ash can. So if you saw that oversized ash can, he did that. But yeah,
because his artwork is perfect for turtles. So
yeah, he's got that cartoony kind of look to it.
Right. Okay. And this that's a page from Space Corps, so I'm not gonna show that one. But this here is a page from Adrift, and you sent me the digital copy of Adrift. Yeah. And I gotta say, man, that and Space Cooler, both of them ended leaving me wanting more. So you're doing a good job there. But is it okay if I show these pages?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. The Kickstarter wrapped on Adrift.
So this is a page from Adrift. I think it's not the first page, I don't believe, but it's, or is it?
Yeah, it is. I think it is.
It is. Can you tell us a little bit about Adrift?
Sure. So Adrift, the artist on there is Jacob Juergen, and he's in Mexico. He's a professor there. He's worked on some DC stuff for Blue Beetle and Flash. He did some Wildstorm stuff as well. So he loves comics. He loves drawing comics. And we wanted to do something together. And so I was just like, what if we do this Fantasy Island / Hostel type of story? And he was all for it. So it was great. You know, he was like, I want to do that. He's like, are we going to get gory? And I'm like, we can get as some gory, but we can't go, you know, over the top type of stuff because we want to sell the book. But, you know, so it's that, you know, it's like a Hostel / Fantasy Island type of thing.
That's the perfect way to describe it. And how did you settle on the name Adrift rather than Assassination Island?
So it's weird. Like whenever I work on comics, like for some reason, I always come up with like a one word title. So Down is the superhero book, you know, Space Cooler is the other book, Adrift is that book. And we kind of, like when I thought about it, you know, it was just like, if you're adrift, you're kind of out there, you don't really have a destination. You're just kind of, you know, in the moment and you're just there. And I just felt like that with the book, like that's kind of what it is. Like this, the main character is just kind of adrift and she's got to find her way to get back on track.
Right. All right, we'll accept that. Okay, these, I'm not sure which book that's for, but I'm really loving this artwork right here.
So the artwork that they're pointing at, that's by Ben Dunn. And so my first published work this year came out, like, it was supposed to come out in January. I think it got pushed back to, like, March. So Brian Rogers, the artist on Space Cooler, and I did a story for Antarctic Press, Planet Comics, which they brought back. So issue one, we did a short story in it, and that picture was supposed to be the variant cover for issue two, but apparently they didn't use it. I own the original art for that, but apparently they didn't use that cover, which kind of surprised me, but, you know, I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, I really, really dig that artwork. And which book was that for again?
So that was for Planet Comics. Yeah, it was popular, I guess, like back in the 50s, 60s. And then the IP was public. So Antarctic Press grabbed it and then tried to relaunch it this year along with Jungle Comics.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And how about this artwork? It's more sketch.
So the one on your left, that is the cover. That's the cover for Adrift by Victor Santos.
This one?
Yep. Okay. So that's the sketch cover that he sent me first to approve. The book on, and then the page on the other side is from a book that I was working on that's coming, but it's coming slower than the other ones. And that one is The Chosen. So that one has two words in the title. So,
well, you ignore the.
Yeah. So. So,
you actually, you can just drop and just call it Chosen.
Yeah. So that one's a Chosen, and that one's like a sci-fi, essentially aliens, you know, come to Earth, and they've been probing and you know, taking our people and you know, looking at them and dissecting them, and they determine that humans make a better warrior than they do for fighting. So they attack the Earth, and they kind of, they don't let us know that we could beat them. But, you know, and the humans fear that, and you know, they're freaked out about aliens. The aliens essentially work out a deal, and they leave vials of their blood. And so X amount of babies are chosen every year to be injected with this. And some survive, some don't. Those that do survive are trained at a special school, and then are sent back to the aliens to be used as their warriors.
That's an interesting concept, actually.
So it follows, basically the story follows a group of five of these kids that go to this training and go on. And you know, some of them, give in and are just like, well, this is my life now. This is what I have to do. Some of them try to come back to Earth and you know, reveal what's really happening. So I think it's a fun story. And it touches, like, you know, different pieces as far as, you know, what happens with, you know, this person that just decides that, hey, this is my life now. I can't, you know, I'm stuck here. I'm not able to go back to Earth. Or, you know, the ones that try to fight to get back to Earth to really, you know, reveal what's happening.
Wow. And then the rest is just a lot of more sketch work for the
We didn't want to give away a whole lot because the Kickstarter hadn't come out yet when we made the ash cans. So
there's a lot of good teasers in there. That was the snack. Now let's get into the meat. Space cooler. And this is the Andy Kuhn cover, correct?
It is. Yes. That's the Andy Kuhn cover.
This character, and I love the car, this character, I wanted to see so much about him.
Yeah.
but in issue one, you're not really going to get to see much about this
guy.
Yeah.
It's always tough, you know, issue ones are that set the table and you know, right. Kind of, put everybody in their spots and get them to where, you know, where you need to be. Issue two, you know, we get a flashback of his history and what he's done and, you know, what got him to the prison. So,
well, we haven't even told everybody what this is about yet. They don't know about the prison. So I'll let you go ahead and give us the premise for Space Cooler.
Sure. So in the semi-near future, basically it's decided that, major crimes are no longer accepted, you know, here on the Earth and, you know, with each of the countries and stuff. So they basically, they've evolved, space travel isn't that big of an issue anymore. So they build this space station and send it up there, and it's built to be a prison. And they decide that every year the worst of the worst criminals are going to be sent up there because, you know, they're no longer allowed on Earth, or, you know, they're no longer accepted here. And the government has set up a lottery, and the lottery chooses two police officers every year to be trained to take these prisoners up and to man the station for a year. When they're up there, there is an artificial intelligence on the ship that kind of does the day-to-day stuff. And these guys are just there more to babysit, I guess, is the you know, the best term. You know, the prisoners are all in this, we called it the pigsty. You know, they're there, they can't go anywhere, they can't do anything, but, you know, they kind of want to make sure that they're not going to hurt each other, they're not going to, you know, do anything like that. The kicker, though, is that when these cops go up, they're sent up with a gun, and they're given the same number of bullets as prisoners that are going up. So they've reached maximum occupancy in the station, so when they go up, they've got to off the same number that are coming up with them.
Yeah, that I love that whole concept. And like you said, it led up to that. I mean, you didn't get hit in the face right at the beginning of what these guys were going up for and what they were going to have to do when they got there. And when they gave them the ammo, that's when they kind of broke it that, hey, yeah. You got 12 prisoners. Here's 12 rounds for the shotgun. And it doesn't say, you know, how they're going to expose the bodies or anything. It's just.
And we get there. Yeah. When we get up there. Yeah,
I'm hoping.
Yeah. Issue two. Like I said, you know, issue one is always tough because, you know, you got to set the table. You've got to get these characters, you know, you got to show where they're coming from. You got to show, you know, where they're going. Issue two, you know, we meet the two officers that have been up there for a year. And they kind of walk us through as they're walking our main characters through, you know, daily life up there. They're like, this, you know, this room is for this. This is what you do in this situation. This is how you, you know, get rid of people. This is what you need to do. And they kind of do it rapidly because they want to get out of there. They're like, you know what? Our year's up. I want to go home. I don't want to be up here anymore. But it, you know, we walk you through that process and you kind of get, you know, the idea of this is what the day-to-day is like up here. And it's funny because Brian has been great, and he's gotten, like, I mean, he's good, but he's gotten better. Like issue two, he'll send me the pages and stuff, and it just some of the stuff is just like dorky stuff that I threw in, like, you know, the one of our main characters, and I guess to go back to issue one, or the whole synopsis is that one of these guys going up there is going up with an agenda. Like he's been waiting for this day, and he's been waiting for this, you know, opportunity to go up there, and you know, he's super excited for it. The other cop, not so much. You know, it's like, I don't want to do this. I didn't sign up to do this kind of stuff. But you know, we put in some like sci-fi dorky stuff, like the antagonist falls asleep on when they're flying up to the prison, and you know, the pilots are here, and then our two main characters are here, and one of the characters like just all of a sudden snaps, wakes up, and he yells "Khan!" and like all everybody else is just kind of looking at him like that. And then he's like, "Oh, you're Star Wars fans?" So it's kind
of... Yeah, I did notice even in Adrift, you know, there's a couple of little pop culture references that characters make. Like, I think in Space Cooler, they even referenced Nee and Nub. I mean, that's a pretty deep pull from Star Wars.
Yeah, we try to drop some stuff in there to, you know, to keep the interest and keep it moving, but...
Yeah, but like you said, so I'm guessing those two cops that are going up are going to be, you said, the main characters then?
Yeah, so they're the main, plus, you know, our guy on the cover there, the crowbar killer. So, yeah. And I based it, the characters, and I'm hoping that, you know, we didn't offend anybody like that, but being in New Mexico, I based one of them as a state trooper in New Mexico. The other cop is just like, you know, your average everyday white guy. And he's from upstate New York, where like I'm originally from Ithaca, New York. So I kind of tried to tie in, you know, that these are like total polar opposites. You know, one guy's in New Mexico, one guy's from New York, but he's from rural New York. And so I'm hoping that as we go on and you see more of their personality, that you know, it's interesting and you know, it flows for the readers.
And they are pretty much opposite. Like you said, the one's a family man with a kid, yeah, Didn't want to leave. The other one, is looking like he's got some kind of revenge.
Oh, he is. He's got an agenda. Yeah, he's been waiting, and we drop some hints in. If you look at the panels and you look at some of the newspaper clippings and stuff like that, we kind of gave a little, you know, some away, and the way he talks and kind of the way that, you know, that he's looking at this as, you know, he's been waiting for this. This is a perfect opportunity. So he has to be, you know, the alpha. He's setting that tone right off the bat.
Yeah, and he does. He's pretty much the, for lack of a better word, he's the prick.
Yeah.
Yeah, he knows what he's going to do, and he lets everybody know exactly what's going to happen when he gets up there. He's taking charge. So issue two is where I'm guessing we're really going to get introduced to a bunch of the inmates. And
yeah, so you do. Yeah, issue two, we start with a flashback. And we take you back so that you can see where the crowbar killer comes from and what he does. And then we kind of show you where he's at on the prison while we're getting our main characters there. So they're on the shuttle, they're on their way up, and the pilots kind of talk to them a little bit about formality and the, you know, how it works. And you know, that when they get there, that they're gonna leave in like 6 hours. You know, they're like, we get here, we dock, you unload, we get the new guys, or we get the old guys, you guys go in, and then we're done, you know, we're out. So, you know, just be ready. You're going to be on your own after 6 hours. And then that'll tie in issue four, because it's only a 4-issue miniseries. In issue four, it kind of runs like a timer on the episode. It's, you know, everything is happening quickly because it's like, okay, these guys are all on schedules, like, we're out of here. You know, we don't care if you're having a problem. We don't care, you know, if there's something else. It's not our problem. You know, our job's
up.
Yeah, our job's to fly the shuttle. So we're out of here. So you're on your own. But yeah, it should be good. Brian finished issue two like a week or two ago. So he's on to issue three now. The scripts are all done. He has all the scripts and everything. And he sent me pages and stuff, and it looks good. You know, our letterer is pretty quick, so that'll be turned around pretty quickly. Brian does everything as far as art digitally, so colors, inks, you know, all that stuff. So issue two should be January.
So where can people pick up issue one now so they can get started on it and get ready for issue two?
So that's the weird thing is like, we pitched it and we didn't, to like a handful of publishers and we didn't get a response or, it wasn't for them. So we kickstarted it and did that. I'm actually setting up a Gumroad shop, hopefully by the end of next week. So we'll have them there. We're trying to get the local shops here in Albuquerque all have it, because I think they like the Andy Kuhn cover. So that was they wanted that. So issue two, when it comes out, we'll more than likely kickstart it again. But I've sent out letters to some of the shops and stuff, not just locally, but around the US to see if they'd be interested in carrying it. We're not looking to get rich off from this. We just want our story to be out there. And interestingly enough, we're in talks to get an option now. So
for a movie, TV show, or
a movie.
Oh, yep. Wow.
Yeah. So yeah. In the next couple of weeks, we have a couple meetings and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully.
Well, you guys do have a Netflix center up in Albuquerque now. So maybe just take it, knock on the door. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great. I mean, I would love to carry it. I'll talk to you offline about this, about having them in Zia Comics. Maybe even have you and Andy come down and do a signing or something.
Yeah, Andy's been really good. And it was funny with the cover because, when I was a kid, my dad had this 68 or 69 Camaro Super Sport. And I'm like, Andy, it needs to be, I can't remember what I told him if it's 68 or 69, but I was like, it needs to be this Camaro Super Sport. And then he sent me the image. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, he's really good. I'm not the only one who thinks it's good, obviously, or you wouldn't have got optioned, but this is if your local comic shop does not have Space Cooler, you might want to tell them to get it. And it's gonna be, you said, on your site.
We're still it's been crazy that as bad of a year as it's been productive for me. I've got supposed to be three comics out this year, and it's I'm not knocking out novels because there's days that I look at the computer and I'm like, oh man, I can't write anything today. but to put out three books has been pretty good. But yeah, we'll have the Gumroad shop set up. We did shirts. So we have shirts with the Andy design on them, with Victor's, with Jimmy's. And it's funny, Jimmy wants to get back into drawing. So he was like, yeah, he's like, well, I'll do it. And then he's doing another cover for me for a different book. So
good to have friends like that.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you wanted to plug?
No. Well, next year, I put together this book, and it's going to benefit the Hero Initiative, and so all the proceeds, minus the production costs, will go to Hero Initiative. And basically, I reached out to a bunch of creators and just said, hey, I want to do this book, an anthology book, if you could do a 5-6 page one shot that we'd put in there. And basically the concept is Hero and however you interpret that. So they can do anything they want, just related to Hero. So I wrote, and Phil Hester is drawing my story. And so mine has a superhero in it, but they're not the main character. They're a side character. So, there was that. Andy Parks is writing, and Keith Wilson is drawing. Paul Kupperberg wrote a story that Steve Irwin is drawing. Trying to think of who else. But we've got enough to do 40-page book. So.
And for people who aren't familiar with the Hero Initiative, can you tell them what that is?
Sure. So the Hero Initiative is basically they help creators in the industry that are facing, health crisis, homeless, things like that, where they could really use some help financially. And so a lot of creators will donate time, or they'll do a sketch or original art, or they'll sign prints and donate them to the Hero Initiative. Hero Initiative will sell them on their site, and then all those proceeds will go to help, you know, those creators that are in need.
It's a very good cause. So if you guys see this book, know that if you buy it, the money is going to help creators. Okay. I think we covered Space Cooler pretty well. I'm waiting for issue 2 myself now, and we're going to probably carry the whole thing in the store and the trade paperback if you ever combine it.
We will. Yeah, that was the one of the thoughts that Brian wanted to do, was to do the whole thing, you know, to kickstart issue 1 and then kind of put the whole thing together and then put out the trade. But I think, you know, we need to do the issues just because, again, you know, issue 1 is always that, you know, set the stage. There's not a ton of climatic stuff going on. You know, we got to get you to that point. Yeah.
And it does, like I said, that and the drift both, it ended and I kept looking for more pages as I wanted more of the story. So you guys look for both of those stories. Any of the other ones we covered earlier, Down, Chosen.
Yeah, Down is still, we're getting there. So Down will be probably middle of next year for issue 1. The Hero Initiative book, the goal is February, March. You know, we started out strong because nobody's really doing anything. And then it was pick your pencils back up. You know, we're going to go back to work on the mainstream stuff. So, kind of slowed down a little bit, but you know, we've set a deadline. So
2021 is going to be all Fenton.
Yeah.
So look for his name, guys. Want to thank you again for coming on here for doing my silly little show and
thanks for having me.
Answering all of our dumb questions. Can't wait for all your books and Space Cooler. You know, lots of New Mexico talent in there from the cover to the writer. So you can't go wrong, guys. So thanks again, Mark, for doing the interview.
Sure.
All right. Later, nerds.
Get nerdy with me. Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Reef? What kind of class do you play, girl, in an RPG?